Beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at this same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. And visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is a key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony, without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123. And you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
For our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. To welcome our worldwide radio audience to the worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We'd encourage you to worship with us in your home. You can tune in same time, same station next week. We'd encourage you to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. The radio for North Texas can be found at the top and the bottom of the dial at 11 a.m. 3 weeks from now, we're going to begin going through the Bible, and I want to ask you to ask your friends, your neighbors, to your home, to your village, to your your hut, to your shack, to your igloo, and have a church in your own home. I've had eye surgery, and today you've got a great treat. Our associate minister, Brother Eric Jenkins, is going to preach, and next Sunday, Brother Vito is going to preach. I'll have my final surgery this Wednesday. God willing, we're going to start through the Bible in 3 weeks, and so we encourage you again to tune in, same time, same station, and go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com, or you can reach us at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Now, Brother Eric Jenkins.
Thank you, Brother Kelly, and good to be here this morning amongst brothers and sisters, and it is an honor, the greatest honor, to be able to present the Word of God, and we understand that as Christians, we are called to go throughout this world and preach and teach the gospel, and so that's exactly what we want to do, is to go out and preach and teach that very gospel. Tonight's sermon, if you noticed in your bulletins, is called The Blessing of Water. And as we go along throughout this lesson, you're going to see that baptism is a wonderful attribute that God gives us. And it's a beautiful thing to be baptized. We're going to look at a lot of the attributes that it brings us in our spiritual walk with God as well. I want to start off with thanking Brother Burnett Woods. Brother Wood has heard me preach this sermon before, and he encouraged me to do it today. So that is the reason I am bringing this sermon today. Wally, good to see you out there, brother. This sermon is dedicated to Nancy and her daughter, Jan Chapman. They've been very encouraging to me, and I told them that I would like to dedicate this message to them in the memory of Adair Chapman. It's a beautiful lesson, and so I'd like for us to go ahead and get right into it. I'm just going to go into a quick prayer right now to make sure we bring this in a way that's pleasing to the God. Dear Heavenly Father, we come approaching your mighty throne at this time, thanking you for this great opportunity I have to be able, as your servant, to present this word. And we pray, dear Father, that we'll present it in a way that is pleasing in your sight. We pray that you will be with all those who hear this word, dear Father. We know that it will not return a void, and we know there is power in your word, dear Father. And as we go through this lesson, the blessing of water, I pray that all that hear it, dear Father, will be empowered by it, and that it will serve its purpose, dear Father, as it's been called to do. Thank you for this opportunity, and pray that you will bless us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and turn to your hymn so you can be following along above Matthew 28, 1 through 20. What we're going to look at is what most call the Great Commission. Jesus Christ himself commanding the disciples what to do. Let's start with verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. I tell you, that sort of tickled me when I looked at it. I've always remember reading that, oh, yes, of course, Jesus Christ was buried in the sepulcher, and the angels rolled back the stone. But I didn't catch that part where they actually sit there and sat up on it, you know. I thought I got a tickle, gave me a little tickle when I saw that. But he sat up on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said to the woman, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay." This is where he was. He's no longer there. This is the beautiful message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know that he died. We as Christians, we want to die also. We want to die, and he was resurrected. He was buried and resurrected, and we can do the same also, as we'll see today as we go throughout our lesson. Verse 7, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre, and fear and great joy and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail And they came and held him by his feet and worshiped him. Verse 10, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me again. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests and all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Oh, look, we got a little plot going on. They understood that it was prophesied that Jesus Christ would resurrect. If he resurrected, it would show that this is, in fact, Jesus Christ, the Messiah of promise. But they wanted to sabotage, and they had a little conspiracy going on so that they could just have people that they paid to lie and say that the disciples came and took him away, that he really didn't resurrect. And there are many people that teach even today that Jesus Christ was never really resurrected from the dead. He just resurrected in the hearts of his followers. And this is a doctrine that's been taught today or taught today. Verse 14, and if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. Verse 15, so they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, and in earth. Go ye therefore. Now here we see our commission. Go ye therefore. Our command, that is. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. I love that. Teach all nations. Just teach the people in your local neighborhood? No. Teach the people just in your city? No. Your state? No. All the nations. So blessed be the feet of those who travel throughout. Sister Pauline and Brother Vito has been out, and we have a lot of missionaries, Paul, and so many have gone throughout this world preaching and teaching the gospel. That's a wonderful thing. And Adair Chapman was a wonderful man that set a wonderful example of going throughout the world teaching the word of God. And when he did so, there were different congregations that would start because of just the pure, unadulterated word of God being taught. Beautiful man, and that's why this sermon is dedicated in his memory. He lives with us today. He is among the cloud of witnesses. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So here we see a wonderful commandment that's given to us to go throughout the whole world to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That means that everyone should understand, who is the Father? The creator of all. What is his place? And if we're teaching, they should understand who is God. They should understand who is the Son. What is the purpose of the Son? And they should also understand what is the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? And what are the what is the reason why we have the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? And these things should be taught whenever we're going throughout this world. Verse 20 again, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, I love this part here. We're supposed to go throughout teaching some of the things that Christ commanded us, the things that we enjoy, the things that tickle the ears, the things that I decide in my own is correct. The things that I decide on my own is what I'm going to believe. I'm going to pick and choose like going to a buffet. I'm going to pick this word of God, but I'm going to reject that word of God. We understand we can't do that. God says don't add or subtract, right? So we're supposed to go throughout teaching them to observe all things. That's everything. Whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And in Mark 16, verses 15 through 16, again, we look at this as being the Great Commission, Jesus Christ commissioning us as his disciples to go throughout the world. He says in 15, and he said to them, Go ye into all the world, again, that same command, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We find that gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. It tells us that that gospel is that death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But isn't it necessary to know about who the Father is and who the Son is and His purpose for being here and the Holy Spirit and the workings of the Holy Spirit, right? All these things should be taught as well. So when we're talking about the gospel, yes, we're talking about the Word of God. And we're supposed to go throughout this world, into all the world, that is, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So we see that belief is extremely important. It's wonderful. And we also see baptism is wonderful as well. And those who are saved have done these, both believed and are baptized. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So what we see here is faith and exercising on faith. People that have heard the word of God, they obey the commandments of God, they obey the examples. Because God teaches us two different ways. There are commandments that are given to us. But there's also things that are just set as examples. And this is not on the scriptures that we have overhead. But we understand that the word reverend, as it used in the King James Version, is only in the Bible once, right? And but it's God's name. Holy and reverence is His name. And so now, that's only one example. I can't go to 10 scriptures to show you that that reverend is God's name. I can't go to 20 scriptures. I can't go to 30 scriptures. Only one. But guess what? That's enough, isn't it? So when we see something, if God says it once, I'm going to believe it. And we can see there's many examples of how we are to be saved in the scriptures over and over again. So now let's go to the journey. The journey we're going to go on now is going to be one of following and seeing what was done before. We have these disciples that were chosen to be apostles of God. And now they're going throughout and they are actually teaching the word of God and they are obeying that great commission that was given to them by Jesus Christ. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. We'll start with verse 36 and go to verse 47. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? In verse 38, it says, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Wow, that's a wonderful attribute. Don't you want the Holy Ghost of promise, the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit? I want it. And I also want my sins remissed. I don't want to go around with all of my sins. So this is a wonderful way. The Bible just shows us by example. These are examples of early Christians being converted by hearing the very basic gospel and listening to the word of God. And through faith, they obeyed the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? And so here we see in 38, and Peter himself, an inspired apostle, said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as our Lord, the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And they that gladly, notice that, they that gladly received the word were baptized. What's the opposite of that? Okay, there are people that just flat out reject the word of God, that want to argue about the word of God, that want to debate the word of God. It's very clear. I mean, here's a clear example of people. This is the early church in the first century, and this is what happened. And as a result, what happened was the gospel was taught. And what was the result?
people were saved. People were added to the church. So verse 41, they that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Very important part that once we become Christians, we continue in the doctrine of the apostles, which is the word of God, and the fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer. That's not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as we're called to do so. That's being here on the first day of the week. And if we're called to be here on a midday, if you can, make it be here. And whatever, and whenever the doors are open, you know, even if we were meeting every day, right? Those who can make it, make it. And in verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayer. So they were breaking bread. They were fellowshipping together. And we understand how important it is to take the Lord's Supper, as we did this morning, right? We take the Lord's Supper proclaiming, that is, that we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we have to remember that every time we take the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, we are stating that we firmly believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. Why do you think they had all things in common? Because they all had the one doctrine, right? We didn't have denominational doctrines of men in the first century. That wouldn't come till later on. They had one doctrine, and that brought them in one accord, one way, right? One faith, one God, one baptism. Everything was one. Verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily as such as should be saved. So that's a wonderful thing that we don't have to depend on man to add us to the church, right? Jesus Christ himself, God adds us to the church, right? And I love 47 when it says they were going around praising God and having favor with all people. Man, I tell you, we got a lot of division going on in America right now, in the world, right? People fighting. You're on this side or that side. You're on the blue team and the red team, you know, and all these divisive things. And here it is, right here in plain English. They were the people that were following God, right, and following his commandments. They were having favor with all people. It didn't say they were just having favor with the brotherhood, and they were in conflict with all the other people in the world, right? No, all people, because there is a change. God, when we follow him, he will make a way for all of us, right? And so we set an example. We're the light in this world. Acts 8:4-13. We're going to look at Simon the sorcerer. And again, we're going through the scriptures and we're just showing these examples of conversion. We're going to start with verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So there they are doing their commission work, preaching the word of God, going throughout. Verse 5 says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed, and them, and many taken with palsy, and that were lame, they were healed. So we had these miraculous gifts going. People that had demonic spirit infestations were now healed of these demons, right? And people that were couldn't walk, or now they're walking. Verse 8 says, and there was great joy in the city. They're happy. They see the word of God is being preached. Miracles are being done. Verse 9 says, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery to bewitch the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the kingdom being the church, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And then Simon himself, Simon the sorcerer, himself, he believed. And also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, we understand that Simon the sorcerer saw these miracles, and he wanted those miracles. But you know what? He did believe, okay? And the people that heard the word of God believed, and they were baptized. And another example we find in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 8, verses 27 through 39, is the Ethiopian eunuch. In verse 27, it says, "And he arose and went, and behold," it says, "and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join therefore into the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him, up and sit with him. Verse 32, And the place of the scripture where he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb before the shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe it, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and were baptized. And he baptized him, that is. And when they were come up out of the water, that tells me they had to be in the water to come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Isn't it wonderful? What wonderful attributes that people have. The fact they can be in one accord with one another, free from, you know, the remission of sins, all these burdens lifted, and these people are joyous, going throughout the world and having kinship with everyone. Verse 34 says, this is Acts 10, 34 through 48. And this is being that those who the Holy Ghost fell on, these people were baptized even though the Holy Ghost had fell on them. Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. That word I say which was published throughout all Judea and began with Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Wow, this is talking about all the wonderful things that Jesus Christ did, his ministry, and it's talking about the fact that he was crucified. Verse 40 says, Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. So here we see that we're talking about the resurrection and the fact that after his resurrection, he was seen 40 days openly. Verse 41 says, Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. And him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall have remission of sins. Verse 44 says, While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. So now we have people who heard the word of God, and we see this Holy Spirit falling upon them. And 45 says, And they of the circumcision which believe were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these, even these who have the miraculous gifts, these should be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. And 48 says, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. They prayed, then prayed they him to tarry certain days. You know, it's wonderful how in the first century they went house to house preaching and teaching the word of God, and we had different congregations, and we want to do the same thing as well. We encourage our radio audience to do the same thing, right? They can get all the things from www.churchofchristpreaching.com, all the materials that they need to be able to worship in their own home. And we'd like you to catch us at the Radio North Texas and at about 11 a.m., top and bottom of the dial at 11 a.m. Acts 16, 25 through 34, we see an example of the Philippian jailer who was baptized. In verse 25, it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prisoner door open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. And they took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. What a wonderful story where we see not only the Philippian jailer, but all those in his house, hearing the word of God, hearing that gospel, and obeying it, being open to the obedience to it. And we also see another example, Acts 18, 1 through 8. Crispus and his household, they believed and were baptized. After these things, Paul departed from Athens. This is starting with verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came into them, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by the occupation they were tent makers. Verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go to the Gentiles, unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. I notice how baptism works a good work for us. It is a good attribute. And now we're going to look at a lot of the attributes that are added to us, our spiritual walk through this thing, this miracle, this miraculous water. Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. What we see here is we openly raise from the dead of Christ triumphing over death and sin. Verse 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. I'm telling you, if he's the head of all principalities and powers, I want to be in him too, don't you? In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So now instead of removing foreskin, we're removing sin. But how are we doing it? We're doing it through Jesus Christ. Verse 12 says, we're buried with him in baptism. Isn't that a beautiful attribute of baptism that it allows us to be buried with him? We love him. He was buried. It's like, I love you. If I want to follow you, I want to be buried too. You know, he died, I want to die too. He was resurrected. Well, I want to be resurrected too, right? He allows us to be able to do that. Again, verse 12 says, we're buried with him, or buried with him in baptism, wherein ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. The same operation that when he died, that operation of the Holy Spirit, he was resurrected, then we are also resurrected. When we die as well, that spiritual death, death to our sins. So we're buried with him, but we're also resurrected as well. We're raised from the dead. And it goes on to say in verse 12, who hath raised him from the dead? Verse 13 says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. That's why we want to be buried. It's an attribute of being buried, is burying that old man, right? That old sinful man. You think about that watery grave of baptism where we go through that. I'm a sinner. I confess the fact that I'm a sinner, right? I repent of the fact that I am a sinner. I know that God is God. I know that Jesus is the Messiah. I know that he came to this earth as a perfect sacrificial lamb so that we can all have the hope of everlasting life. I know these things. And isn't it wonderful that I can go through that watery grave of baptism, and when I go underneath, when I come up and I'm resurrected, that old man of sin and flesh stays down there, okay? It's a wonderful attribute that we have with that baptism gives us. Verse 14, it's blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. These ordinances that were against us. We understand that the law of God is wonderful, it's perfect, right? But unfortunately, the nature of mankind is imperfect. So we're condemned. We cannot live by the law, because we're always going to offend it, because it's perfect and we're imperfect. And that's why grace appeared through Jesus Christ Jesus. Blotting out, verse 14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took us out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Okay? He nailed it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities, spoiled it, the devil thought he won, right? But he forgot that God says, if you sin, ye shall die. Guess what? Christ never sinned. That's why the grave could not hold him. That's why it was necessary that he be resurrected, because he never sinned. And the principality was spoiled. The devil's plots were spoiled once again. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. See, Jesus Christ triumphed over those who thought they had killed him. Why? By resurrecting and showing, hey, you didn't kill me. I'm still alive and I'll live forevermore. We do the same thing. So that when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and we're baptized, guess what? We're showing it openly as well. We're showing the fact that we are dying to our sins. We're going under and we're being resurrected just as Jesus Christ, never to die anymore. You know, oh, sin, where's thy sting? Oh, death, there's no power in it anymore. It's just a shadow. God, Jesus Christ has taken it away. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 10. Verses 3 says, know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Christ, there it is again, were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death. Didn't I just say as a follower of Christ, hey, Christ, you died, I want to die too, right? That's how we die. We die to our sins, repenting from our sins and being buried just like he was buried. And so that's a wonderful attribute that we find in baptism, is that we can be baptized, we're baptized into Christ and we're baptized into his death. Verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So that's how we have a new life. That's how we become new creatures. It's through that death, that baptism, right? That burial. Verse 5 says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Yeah, so we got to die in order to be able to be resurrected and live, right? Knowing, verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. I wanted to destroy that sinner I used to be. When I was a sinner, I was a big sinner. And I tell you, when I went into that watery grave of baptism and I came out of that water, I was glad to know that sinner didn't come up with me, right? Praise God. It's a wonderful attribute that we have in baptism. Knowing this, verse 6, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For verse 7 says, for he that is dead is free from sin. How do we get free from sin? That beautiful baptism, that beautiful attribute that is given to us for our spiritual walk frees us from that sin. And verse 8 says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him. We've got to die in order to live. And baptism gives us the opportunity to die, to be buried, to be put in Christ, to be new creatures in Christ. All these wonderful attributes in baptism. Knowing this, verse 9 says, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Did you hear that? See, Jesus Christ, yes, he died that physical death. He was in the grave those 3 days, but the grave couldn't hold him. He resurrected, never to die again. And guess what? When we go to that watery grave of baptism, when we've obeyed the gospel and we go to that watery grave of baptism and we die and we're resurrected, it's so that we will never have to die again. The sting of death has been taken from us. Knowing that, verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. And he does not want death to have any dominion over us anymore. That is a beautiful, wonderful attribute that God gives us through baptism, and that is through our obedience. There's no power in the water. You can't go and get that water and make it holy, right? The power is in obedience to God's commands and his examples, as we've seen today this morning. Verse 10 says, for in that he died into sin once, but in that he liveth unto God, and we will do the same. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 14 says, starting with verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, that's the church, being many, are one body, one church, also and so also is Christ. Verse 13, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. See the wonderful attribute that we find in baptism? The fact that we are added to that body, added to the church. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, one church. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be a bond or free. See, there's no difference. He's bringing us all together. And have been all made to drink of one Spirit. The wonderful attributes of one, right? One God, one way, one faith, one baptism. For the body is not one member, but many. We all are the body of Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 27. 26 says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have what? Put on Christ. So through baptism, we are put in Christ, and we also put on Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17, it starts with 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, and that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. See, once we do this obedience, and we die, guess what? We don't die to ourselves. We die to him. We're his servants now, right? We're new creatures in Christ, not living for ourselves, not living for the fleshly desires, but for living for the will of God, right? Verse 16 says, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. See, we've got to get in Christ. And that wonderful thing called baptism is that attribute that puts us in Christ. And now old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. The spiritual metamorphosis that takes place in our lives when we obey the scripture. And last, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. Verse 18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. You know, why did he have to come to this earth? Why did he have to suffer and die to bring us to Christ? You know, when sin came into the world, we were separated. The Garden of Eden, we were in one accord with God. But then sin came in and separated us from God. And it was necessary that Jesus Christ bind us back to God, right? And that's why he had to come and do what he had to do. So it says, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, and when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Notice it talks about, we look at Noah and the flood, and we don't look at the water as being a saving thing, right? It's like, okay, that destroyed everybody who was not in the ark. But it saved those who were in the ark. And then it goes on to say in verse 21, the light figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. What a wonderful attribute that baptism has. See, this is what God has given us. This wonderful, beautiful plan of salvation. And whatever God gives us, I want it all. I don't want to discard any part of it, right? It's all good. All the words of God are good. And all of his commandments and all of his examples, all of his statutes. 21 says, the light figure whereunto even baptism also now saves us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Isn't that wonderful? And he gives us an opportunity to do the same. We understand that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 and 17 tells us that we have to have this faith. We know without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who hath come to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11 and 6. And then in Luke 13 and 3, we have to repent. What is repent? We talked about it today in the plan of salvation. That's dying. You see, we see Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus Christ died. Well, we need to die too. Well, how do we die? Okay, well, we die to our sins. We put the sinful man to death. That's what repentance is. It means I'm in sin. Now I'm going to turn away from sinning, and I'm going to walk away from it, right? That's what repentance is. I left it behind. We have to repent. We have to die to sin. And then we have to confess. Matthew 10:32-33. This confession, we confess the fact that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Confession with the mouth has to be made. And in Mark 16:15-16, we see that great commission going throughout the world and preaching and teaching the gospel. We have to go out and we have to preach and teach that gospel. But see, he who hears that gospel, if you hear it, then he who believeth that gospel that's heard and is baptized shall be saved, and he who believeth not shall be damned. We see Revelation 2 and 10 telling us that we have to be faithful unto death. It is imperative that we all, not only, it's a wonderful lesson that we have presented here today in regards to the attributes of baptism. It's wonderful to be able to obey that gospel and to become a Christian and be added to the body of Christ. But it is imperative that once we become a member of the body of Christ, that we continue that race until the end. Because only then is a crown of victory prepared for us in heaven. If you are here tonight, and you are a hearer of this word that has been presented this morning, you are pricked in your heart, and you are not a Christian, and you would like to give your life to Christ, and you would like to obey the gospel, we'll give you the opportunity to do so as we stand and sing the invitational song.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
For our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ.
now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.